Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hi, I'm Puma. We're glad you joined us today.
Yes.
It's starting to feel a little like spring.
Yeah, yeah. Spring break is nearing, very much so. And, you know, I like spring, minus the allergies and all the other bugs that are growing.
Well, I like spring, minus the allergies, the bugs, the wetness, the mud.
The weather.
The weather. Yeah. Other than that, it's great.
Yeah, no, it is good. Well, and also, you know, guys, on this podcast, you know, we talk about, I guess, weather, but we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
And weather is a part of everything.
Yeah, everything is a pretty good encompassing kind of phrase.
But we're not going to focus on weather today.
No.
We are in the midst of our study on, you know, our identity in Christ. Mm. Who am I in Christ?
Yeah.
What is my identity because of Jesus? And the whole identity series really rests upon, you know, whose opinion about us do we believe? You know, because we live out who we think we are.
Yep.
So we live out what we believe about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so people that are insane or psychotic that believe that they can fly, jump off of, you know, 10-story buildings and meet the consequences of that wrong identity beliefs.
Yes, so they still go splat. The idea / phrase we've been using, or probably will use throughout this series, is the opinion that matters most is the one we choose to trust. And trusting and believing in an opinion changes everything. Our identity is shaped by the things we choose to believe, the things we choose to focus on, and it really directly correlates to how we live life.
Yeah. And one of our main passages is from Ephesians chapter 1, you know, starting in verse 3, where, you know, Paul wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And then he goes on to list all kinds of things, and we'll look at some of those in the weeks to come. But we, because of Jesus, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing that Jesus possesses.
Wow, yeah.
Everything that is true of him, that comes from him, is now ours because of our relationship, because of our connection to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where we really want to go in these podcasts over the next, you know, couple months here, because I am really convinced that the whole issue of identity is one of the biggest issues in our culture today.
Yeah.
We, you know, people want to know who I am and what my life is about, and are scrambling and searching for something, because my identity also gives me meaning and purpose.
True. And guys, as we introduce this topic, you know, this is such a, I mean, they're all foundational, but maybe for me, for Tori, this is maybe the one of the truths about believers that happened, the moment of salvation that shapes everything. I mean, for me, this was one of the most impactful, because this is not just something that we have, it's something that we're called to do, which is interesting, because most of the promises of God that he gives us are only things he can do. But this particular one is one that we are actually called to do also. So, shall we dive into this topic of our identity?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's dive in. Okay, Puma. So, what is, I mean, probably the title of this, you know, podcast, they already know, but what is the topic today?
Well, today we're talking about forgiveness, and not so much that we need to forgive people. I think it's obvious. I mean, all of us want to be forgiven, but we don't want to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger picture of that is that in Christ, we are forgiven people.
Yeah.
In that Ephesians 1 passage, Paul goes on in verse 7. So in the passage that we're looking at, Ephesians 1, you know, Paul says that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And he goes on in that passage to say that in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. In Jesus, we have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. In other words, one of the things that are true of you and me because of our faith in Jesus Christ, something that happened at the moment we trusted Christ as Savior, is that we have, or we possess, the forgiveness of sins.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's something that is true of me, it's true of you in Christ. I mean, it's not true of me. It's true of me in Christ. The focus is always who we are in Christ.
Right. It's an interesting way to phrase that. We possess the forgiveness. Like we own. We have access to. Yeah.
I mean, that's what he said. It's a present indicative verb. It's something that we actually have.
Yeah.
As a follower of Jesus, as someone who's trusted Jesus as Savior, something that I possess right now is the forgiveness of sins, not past tense, I had, not future, I will, but present, I have.
Yeah.
That is something that is true of me today. That is something that will be true of me tomorrow.
Yeah.
That is something that I possess. And this is where I think God wants us to understand that when we realize that in Christ I possess the forgiveness of sins, that changes my outlook on my life, my identity. I am a forgiven person.
I love that. It sounds weird that we possess something that God gives us. I mean, like, as if God could give humans something, but he does. And this forgiveness changes everything. I mean, this idea of forgiveness doesn't make sense unless we believe that we need forgiveness, right? Because to be forgiven assumes that we've done something bad, which requires forgiveness.
Right. So what is forgiveness? I mean, let's just define that.
Yeah. That's a good question. What do you think, Puma?
Yeah. What is forgiveness? Well, forgiveness implies that there's been a sin or an offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
That something has been done, and forgiveness is a relational thing. Mm. So I don't need to ask forgiveness to the chair that I'm sitting in because I hopped on it, you know.
Right.
You know, I jumped on it. I don't ask for forgiveness to inanimate objects. Forgiveness is something relational between persons. Mm-hmm. And so when it says that we possess the forgiveness of sins, it really implies that I am a sinner against God, that I have sinned against God. Relationally, sin has destroyed the relationship that I have with God. But in Christ, I have the forgiveness of my sins, which means that I no longer have my sin counted against me. It's no longer credited to my account. God treats me as if I'm no longer an offender. I'm no longer an offense to him.
Mm-hmm.
I possess the forgiveness of sins, which is an amazing thing. Because that's something that God has given me in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the most beautiful examples of forgiveness, if I can, you know, share a story. There was a story I read years ago, and it's from the 1800s, and it was in California, and there was, I guess, a big KKK presence there. And there was a black mother with a son, and I guess from this is her story, her testimony, I guess you can join the KKK, but in order to rank up, you actually have to do certain things, and unfortunately, one of the requirements to rank up was to kill a black person. And as awful as that is, as the story goes, this guy, we'll call him the murderer, he targeted her son. And so I guess, I don't know the details, but she witnessed and saw the aftermath of her son being stomped to death, beaten and killed. And ironically enough, when this incident happened, the cops were aware this murderer actually got tried. The mother was witness to this. She saw it happen. And so she takes the guy to court. You think it'd be a slam dunk. You get cops involved. You have eyewitnesses. The murderer, you know, it has the evidence on him. And yet, as the story goes, she's in court. The mother sees the murderer and he gets off. And in the article, the mother wrote, she said, "I saw him smile at me and smirk." You know, as if to say, yeah, you caught me, but you can do nothing about it. He was just great. I can't imagine. I mean, I'm not a mom, but even just to be in her shoes, what that would feel like, seeing your son's murderer just smirk at you. Terrible injustice, whether it was, I don't know, the courtroom or the judge, the guy got off, you know, slap on the wrist. There was no jail time, no real punishment. Fast forward a couple years, this mother is grieving. She joins a church, and this church group really gets around her, and they saw her heartbrokenness, her lack of her anger, which I totally get, just so angry. And so they form a support group for her to encourage her and to help her move on with dealing with that loss. This is such a crazy story because a couple years later, this same murderer, this KKK guy, gets super drunk. And some Sunday afternoon, they're having this like meeting group for the mom. And he stumbles, this drunk murderer stumbles into that church during this meeting on that Sunday afternoon. the whole group, the whole support group knew about this guy. They knew the face. They were probably, you know, very informed on what he looked like. They see this mom's son's murderer walk into their group, and they are enraged. They get up, and they are about to mob the guy that killed her son. And this is where the story takes a beautiful turn, you know. And she writes, she's like, as much as I would love for this group to stomp, you know, the crap out of this guy and just, again, justice, the eye for an eye, he murdered my son.
Well, all of us would feel that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if I were the mom, I'd be like, yeah, well, the Lord has answered my prayer.
Right.
Here's the murderer who, you know, got no justice, and the Lord delivered him into our hands. But this is what the mom does. As the support group gets up to mob this guy, she runs up and gets in the way. And she writes in the article, she says to the group, if you're going to stomp him to death, you have to stomp me to death too. She's like, if God can forgive me of my sin, how can I not forgive the one who murdered my son too? And I think at that moment, I was reading, I'm like, wow, it hit me. You know, here we have this mom who justifiably wants, you know, justice for her son who was, you know, so wrongfully killed. And for the last 2 years, she's been heartbroken trying to get support from a church group, and she stands in the way. She realizes at the moment, this is forgiveness. This is forgiveness. I'm forgiving my murderer, and I'm willing to take the punishment. If you're going to hurt him, you got to hurt me first. And that's, again, that's a human scale, you know, crazy story, but I mean, spiritually?
Yeah, see, that takes a supernatural act on that mother. I mean, humanly speaking, I mean, when we have been wronged, and especially a wrong like that, I mean, to see your son murdered, to forgive the murderer is really humanly impossible. Mm. I mean, this is what John writes in 1 John, you know, we love because God first loved us.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, the woman says, you know, you got to stomp on me in order to stomp on the guy, which is amazing. I mean, that, you know, that kind of parallels right to Jesus. Why do we have possessed the forgiveness of sins in Christ? Because Jesus got stomped in our place.
Yeah.
He's the one that took our, it's not like sin just is gone. Sin had to be paid for. And so in order for you and I to possess forgiveness, that sin had to be paid, and Jesus paid it on the cross. Because what Paul says in Ephesians 1, he says, we have in Christ the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. That God, in his love for us, Jesus allowed himself to be punished for our sin so that we could possess the forgiveness of our sins. Our sins are not counted against us as if we're no longer an offender. And he says it's the riches of God's grace. We don't deserve it. It's something that God gave us we don't deserve. And it's so interesting. He says, in accordance with the wisdom, God's wisdom and understanding. It was wise for God to do that. It was understanding. It was good for God to do that, which is amazing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is humanly that we can't do that.
Yeah, the forgiveness to this scale is a supernatural thing. And I love that forgiveness isn't just mercy, right? Like, okay, you deserve it. I'm not going to punish you, right? Mercy is not getting what we do deserve.
Right.
But forgiveness has an element of grace. Because especially with Jesus, I'm not going to just call you innocent. I'm going to take the place and give you the gift and take the punishment. Yeah. So all of a sudden, there's this moment of grace and mercy meet, and it's forgiveness.
Right. He says the riches of God's grace. I mean, the abundance of God's grace allows us to possess the forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And that really, why does God, all right, so Tori, here's the question then.
Yeah.
Why does God want us to know this is true of us? We're talking about our identity in Christ, who we are in Christ, and because of Jesus, I am a forgiven person. So why does God want me to know that?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, what is it about this truth? You know, part of my identity in Christ is I'm forgiven. Why is that important? I think a big part of it is, one, how we view ourselves. I mean, you know, we all sin. We all need forgiveness, right? And yet a lot of us, myself included, sometimes my thoughts condemn me. You know, whether it's late at night, like, I can't believe I said that. you know, how could I think that? How could I do that?
How can I do that again?
Yeah, right, right.
God surely doesn't love me this time.
Yes, yeah, 70 times 7? Oh, I'm past 490 times. I've repeated this sin. I feel guilty. I feel disgusting. And oftentimes, it's like, I know God forgives me, like on paper, but I don't think he likes me. You know, like, I he might love me, right? He died for my sins. I mean, I'm going to heaven. But I think, honestly, there's a little bit of wrath he's saving for me. Like, he can't totally forgive me. And I live and think like and act like a guilty, condemned person. And if I don't understand this truth that I am forgiven in Christ my sins have been blotted out, then that's going to change how I live because it changed how I see myself.
Yeah, a lot of people, and you know, I've had this in my own life at times. It's like, you know, I don't feel very lovable. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I have a hard time sometimes forgiving myself.
Yeah.
Right? We sometimes forgive ourselves. I mean, when he says that we have forgiveness of sins in accordance to the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. I love the way, you know, the idea of lavishing, or like, that's not haphazard. That's not unintentional. That's not even out of duty. I mean, he lavished on us with wisdom and understanding. You actually hear God's desire to do this for us, to give this to us, because he loves us so much. It's not like someone twisted God's arm and said, all right, well, I'm God, I might as well kind of suck it up and, you know, do the right thing, you know. No, it's like he so wants to do this for us and has given us the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
How can we not live in life? How can we forget that?
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing I can do today that can take me out of the have forgiveness category because I'm in Christ.
Yeah.
There's a security there. There's a confidence there.
A permanence to this.
Yeah. I don't need to have self-loathing about myself. Mm-hmm. I just need to go back to this truth. Wow. You know what? I am a forgiven person.
Yeah.
That doesn't give us a blank check for license then to live however we want either.
Right. Yeah.
Because some people go the other way. Well, I'm a forgiven person. Yeah. I can just do whatever I want.
Right.
Well, if that's your perspective, Paul also addresses that in other places. Yeah. You really probably have not actually understood the gospel.
Right. Romans 6:1. Yeah. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?
No.
By no means.
No.
And I like how you said that, Puma, because a lot of us as Christians live defeated. We walk around thinking that even though God forgave me, I'm still guilty. And I live like I'm undeserving. Like I'm not worthy. I think that's a word you mentioned before. And I'm not worthy of the forgiveness of God. Like even if it's true, I'm going to live like I'm undeserving. Like I'm defeated. I'm a victim of my own accord, right? You know, Colossians 3 says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That includes yourself.
Yeah.
You need to believe that you're forgiven. And I struggle with this.
You know, I mean, in Jesus' day, you had kind of the two bookends. You had the Pharisees who thought they were not in need of forgiveness. And then you had the tax collectors and the sinners who really saw themselves as, and we're even told in the culture that they are not worthy of forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, that you don't deserve forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And neither one of those bookends are true. Mm-hmm. The Pharisees needed forgiveness just like the tax collector and the sinner. Mm-hmm. The tax collector and sinner don't deserve it, but God wants to lavish with all wisdom, you know, to those who are guilty, which is all of us.
Yeah.
This is why it's so amazing. This is why Jesus is so amazing. And if we could champion Jesus, you know, these podcasts, that, you know, it's who I am in Christ. It's all about Jesus, which means I get my eyes off of myself and get myself eyes off of my own failures and get my eyes off of my own, liberty desires. And how can I just live in light of what Jesus has done for me and live as a forgiven person in this world, which should cause me to be gracious to other people.
Yeah. Yeah. How cool is it that we have been forgiven? Like, not a blank check to sin, but a blank check to walk in that freedom. I mean, we don't have to live in our past, even our future sins, because God, if God says we're forgiven, who are we to say he's wrong?
Right.
You know?
If God can forgive me, then why should I not forgive myself?
Right.
And it's not like I have to forgive myself. It's just that I hold on to the guilt that has been forgiven.
Yeah.
And I don't need, it is wrong for me to live in my guilt. It is right for me to live in the forgiveness that I've been given in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, I'm not worthy, you know, that's a lie, right? To think that I'm not worthy of God's forgiveness. God forgave me, but I still messed up. I still watched that. I still said that. I still did that. And we live like, man, he forgave me in the past. I don't know if we can continue. And we start doubting this promise, this truth that in Christ we are forgiven. It's a matter of faith. You know, we may not feel worthy, but how we feel should never trump what God says is true.
Right.
And that's part of the belief, right? The opinion that matters the most is the one you choose to trust.
Right. And as we go on these podcasts, we also want to, you know, a caveat that being a forgiven person is not the identity of who we are.
Correct.
That there's a whole, we're going to look at a whole gamut of the, and they all kind of work together. It's all this big, beautiful picture of who I am mm-hmm. in Christ. And so, you know, to take this, I am a forgiven person, and we're going to tether that to all these other beautiful mm-hmm. truths that we're going to look at.
Yeah.
And it creates one big picture of who I am in Christ. And so I think sometimes people can take one truth mm-hmm. and can take it to an extreme.
Sure.
And say, ah, you know, I'm a forgiven person. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. I just, you know, I'm worthy and think that my worth now is somehow self-generated.
Sure. Yeah. It can become pride.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to tether this to all the other truths that we're going to look at mm-hmm. and create this beautiful picture of who we are in Christ. And if we could really live in that. And so I think mm-hmm. God wants us to live out of our identity of who we are in Christ.
Yeah. And I like how you said that, Puma, because all of us can take anything and make it extreme. If any of these promises in this series make you arrogant, you probably misunderstood.
You're probably missing the point.
You know, yes. These should humble us that we have been forgiven. Praise God. I didn't do that. Like, I didn't. The Lord forgave me. This isn't, oh, look how good I am. I'm forgiven. You know, sucks to be you. It should cause a gratitude and a humility.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So, Puma, what's a good AQ for us, you know, as we kind of wrap up this idea of this truth that we are forgiven in Christ?
Yeah. Well, I think those two bookends, you know, when you think of your life, do you see yourself as really a pretty good person, not really in need of much forgiveness? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the reality is that whether you have sinned once or a million times, you are estranged mm-hmm. from God because of your sin,
yeah.
and that you need to have that sin not counted against you in order to be in right relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an all or nothing thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So recognize what an amazing gift that you've been given. And, you know, the other side is sometimes the self-loathing, you know, that mm-hmm. I don't deserve to be forgiven. I've done so much bad, and I continue to, you know, fall into, you know, temptation, and, you know, am I really a forgiven person? How can I be a forgiven person? How can Jesus mm-hmm. love me if this continues in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to hold on to the truth, not of my sin and my guilt, the truth that in Christ I am a forgiven person, and look there, look at Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and look to Jesus, and be willing to accept that even when you feel crappy. You know, mm-hmm. we always go back to the truths that God has given us,
yep.
and he's told us what to do when we sin. You know, we confess, repent, and we move on, mm-hmm. right? We don't loathe in that.
Right.
I am a forgiven person.
Mm-hmm.
Relationally, I am connected to Jesus because of who I am in Christ.
Right. Yeah, we should not feel good about our sin, but we should not live there.
Right.
Right. We should feel guilty for our sin, but not at the expense of, oh, I'm not forgiven. We can't stay in that guilt, because it really does. It changes how we see ourselves. And I love how you said, like, yeah, our either extreme is wrong, to be over arrogant or over defeated and kind of lowly of self misses the promise that God gives us here about us being forgiven.
Yep.
Well, that's good. Thank you. And guys, thank you for joining us. You know, I'm so excited. I love this series. I need to hear this. We need to hear this, that we need to be reminded that the God of the Bible has given us these promises in Christ, in Jesus. These are true. And whether I believe it or not doesn't change the fact that it's true. Truth doesn't change based on my belief of it. And so I'm challenged in this series to believe these, to hold on to these promises. These promises are permanent. And that's pretty awesome. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you guys for joining us in this. If you have any questions, as always, feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys, and even questions or whatever, anything that you maybe have a thought on, we'd love to hear from you guys and learn from you guys too. And yeah, we'll see you next time, Fridays at 10:10. Until then, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.